May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word zeal characterizes a type of behavior which, on the whole, we are suspicious of. It conveys an image of misdirected or inappropriate enthusiasm, an unseemly earnestness, persistence, or fervor. Since the time of Christ, zealots have been identified as those who uncompromisingly pursue religious ends to the point of fanaticism. Our own age has seen a good deal of this behaviour, from ranting televangelists to suicide bombers. We know that such behaviour is far removed from the way in which we would exhibit our faith. When the disciples observed the behaviour of Jesus in the temple precinct, their initial reaction must have been shock and awe. I suspect that it was only later that they remembered the words of the psalmist, "Zeal for your house will consume me." But there is no doubt that something pushed him over the edge that day. This wasn't a failure of diplomacy. He simply flipped. Over 2,000 years, theology has debated the twin natures of Christ, the divine and the human, concluding that uniquely in him, both of these are held in creative tension. The Old Testament has spoken a good deal, perhaps too much, of God's anger directed against human disobedience, which seeks to thwart God's own good purpose. And so the people gathered at the temple that day were familiar with a God given to displays of anger, but not with someone who conveyed God's anger. In this gospel scene, Jesus' righteous indignation turns to anger, and anger turns to action. But it is important to be clear about what Jesus is doing and what he is not. He is not dismissing the worship of the temple. He is not attacking the spiritual tradition that has formed his whole life and which remained dear to his disciples. He is attacking the perversion of this ancient and glorious tradition. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. It was the clash of truth with parody. The temple transactions themselves were perfectly legal. Living under occupation, the Jews were obliged to use the Roman coin, and they were obliged to buy ritualistically clean animals to sacrifice. But in exchanging their Roman coinage for one acceptable to the temple treasury, exorbitant rates were charged, and the poor who came to worship were exploited. It was what is called today structural injustice. That is, the injustice, though legal, is built into the system. How can true worship be built upon injustice? How come there wasn't an outcry against this? The reaction of Jesus is a necessary corollary against 1,000 Sunday school images of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, of sentimental hymnody, O Sabbath rest of Galilee, O calm of hills above. This is the Jesus that ushers in the disturbing presence of God, who came to bring not peace, but a sword. It is the antidote to all that within us wishes to tame God and make him safe, to constrain his rightful demands upon us. Passionate and unpredictable, Jesus could not contain his indignation at the injustice being perpetrated in God's name. Anger, on the whole, has had a bad press. St. Paul cautioned the Ephesians against letting anger lead them into sin or allowing the sun to go down upon it. Anger is the fourth deadly sin, and yet an emotional life devoid of anger would be tepid and unreal. Where there was no anger, there might well be no strong affection either. It is a complex emotion and cannot be controlled by a simple set of rules. As Pascal reminds us, the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows nothing. But anger, which flows from a sense of injustice, either to oneself or to the wider community, could be a positive force, for without anger at flaws in the prevailing system, there would be no impetus for change and improvement. Psychotherapy teaches us that aggression can be a prime mover in creative work. And so we must ask ourselves what it is that makes us angry and why. If anger is one way of showing that we care about the world, then why are we not more angry? Have we become too comfortable in our lives, too self-assured and protected, that we only care about what happens to us? Ours is a faith built upon the actions of people powerfully motivated to do something about the situation in the world, because they recognized that the way in which God is calling us to live is markedly different from the way in which the world carries on. Lent requires us to stand back and take a long, hard look at our lives and the world around us and ask ourselves what we are really here for. Is it more than living comfortable lives with as little unpleasantness as possible? What can we do to protest against the injustices of the world? The Christian ascetical tradition responds to these questions by rejecting wealth and stability in favour of dependence upon God in the wilderness. Standing outside of mainstream religion, those who went to the desert were able to critique the areas in which our faith is failing, just as Jesus was willing to do in first century Jerusalem. Christianity should be a faith full of passion. For after all, what is our spirituality other than our profoundest motivations, our deepest desires, those longings, instincts, intuitions, and insights which animate us, breathe through us, move us, and inspire us? If anger is an expression of passion, then it should really reflect an openness to and a love of life in all its fullness, and motivate us to act as Jesus did, to reject worship that leaves us untouched and our world unchanged, attitudes that domesticate the gospel and make God seem undemanding and indifferent, and faith that does not move people to get up and do something about the wrongs and ills of the world. And wonder at a Lord and Saviour who asks us why we are not more angry at these things. For the opposite of love is not hate and anger, but indifference. Lord of the overturning, your passion sweeps away distorted religion, which keeps us safely outside the holy places. May we find our way through the debris of all that protected us to find your angry heart and our world turned upside down. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Passion. Amen.